Hello and welcome. It's our number two of our radio program and a toss-up, more outrageous NFL comment. The Rams chief operating officer saying that franchise does not regret the Jared Goff contract, which has already been shipped off to Detroit with a couple of first-round picks, and the Cowboys executive vice president claiming that Dak Prescott is the answer to the riddle. So which is more over the top? We will discuss right now in our number two. Oh, the things they say. Talking about you, NFL executives. Welcome in the beginning of another hour of the Ben Maller Show. We are in the air everywhere as we pontificate coast to coast, border to border, and beyond on the vast and powerful microphones of FSR emanating live from inside the theater of the mind, the Fox Sports Radio studios. Here we are back at it again, and our lead this hour comes from the braggadocious world of the front office of professional sports, in this case, the NFL, as we are closing in on the NFL draft now, just 9 days away. The countdown continues, but the comments made by the Cowboys and Rams in the lead-up to the draft caught my attention. And one of the things you do when you host a sports radio show is you parse the words that are said by people in sports. It is the silly season. It is a time when you lay the frosting on thick, and I enjoy frosting, but occasionally I get a stomachache. And I don't know if you saw the comments I'm referring to, maybe not. And I'll walk you through this. I'm going to hold your hand, and I will walk you through the comments. All right, so I'm going to start out in Los Angeles, where the COO, the chief operating officer of the Rams, Kevin Demoff, was recently asked if the Rams had any regrets about handing Jared Goff a four-year, $134 million contract extension. This a couple years ago. And here is the response from Demoff. He said, quote, regrets? No! Jared has been a great piece to our franchise. You can't be caught up in decisions you've made in the past because things change, is what Demoff had to say, close quote. Now, the Rams dumped Jared Goff's contract along with some draft picks on the good people of Michigan there, the Detroit Lions, in a trade to get Matthew Stafford over from Detroit. So then you have the words of Cowboys executive vice president Stephen Jones, keeping up with the Joneses. Now, Stephen, the spawn of Jerry, and when Jerry goes to hang out with our friend in the Twin Cities there, Hayes, and then is no longer calling the shots for the Cowboys, Stephen is going to take over the day-to-day full operation. He'll have final say and final cut, if you will. But the spawn of Jerry said that Dak Prescott is, quote, the answer to our riddle for the Cowboys. The answer to our riddle. Okay. He made these comments during a radio appearance when asked about Dallas's draft plans and the fact that they don't need a quarterback because they signed Dak Prescott. Now, people tend to say the darndest things around the NFL draft. These are two examples of that. So let us discuss. Toss-up question. The Rams saying they do not regret Jared Goff's contract, or the Cowboys claiming that Dak Prescott is the answer to their riddle. What is the more outrageous? Now, more outrageous statement. This is a neck-and-neck race, right? Neck-and-neck race. Down the stretch we come. And I am giving the edge to the Rams and Kevin Demoff for his comments that there are no regrets about the Jared Goff contract. Now, my thoughts on this, you've got German fairy tale, zoologist, and septic tank. And we will tie all of these things together into a nice, neat package. Now, A, the Rams' empty suit here, you talk about tossing out hogwash. And everyone gets a cup of hogwash. It tastes wonderful. Now, maybe this stuff flies with the low information fan, and you'd have to answer that if you're one of them. I am not. Anyone with an IQ above 40, I'd like to think your IQ is above 40, knows that this is chicken crap. It's fertilizer is what it is. L.A. did the thing you can't do at the time you can't do it. We said it at the time. They made an impulse purchase. We told them, don't do it. It's a mistake. Don't do it. And even when the Rams were winning with Jared Goff, he was often on the ropes in big games. Did the Rams listen? Of course not. Demoff had the brass balls to say that he'll, quote, look back on the era of Jared with great fondness. That was another quote. Let me play devil's advocate. Why would you look back at the era of Jared Goff with great fondness? Because the Rams woulda, coulda, shoulda won a Super Bowl if Jared Goff had not sucked at a time you cannot suck. Goff, if you've forgotten, back in Super Bowl 53 against the Patriots, the last Super Bowl win for Tom Brady as a New England Patriot, in that game, Brady was not particularly good. But Jared Goff was worse. Goff had a 57.9 passer rating. The Rams didn't score a touchdown, so obviously he didn't have a touchdown. One interception and was sacked four times. Averaged 6 yards per attempt. And according to the Rams COO, you look back with great fondness at Jared Goff. My big fat tuchus. You look back with great fondness at Jared Goff. And the game was there for the taking. And this guy failed. And I got to hear that. Great fondness, please. Now, Kevin Demoff deep down knows this is true. This cannot be true, rather. This cannot be true. It's kind of like a German fairy tale, right? He's playing the role of Rumpelstiltskin, attempting to turn straw into gold by the morning. Now, keep in mind, Goff, not only bad in that Super Bowl, but as a postseason player in general, during the Super Bowl season, which is the claim to fame that Jared Goff truthers like to repeat, well, they got to a Super Bowl. Goff was along for the ride. He was in the caboose. He wasn't in the front of the train. He was in the back of the train. And I went back because I knew he was bad. And I was like, how bad was he? Jared Goff completed 55% of his passes in that playoff run. And his quarterback rating, 71.3. And he's averaged 6.7 yards per attempt in that playoff run. So, meanwhile, all right, now part B of this, the Cowboys. Now, the Cowboys lose. Another loss for Dallas. They get edged out in the outrageous department of verbose executives because of the Jared Goff ineptitude. But that does not diminish that this was a photo finish, right? Dak Prescott is the Russell Westbrook of the NBA. He is a stat bandit. We said it before he signed. We say it after he signed. Prescott does most of his damage against the poverty teams of the NFL. In big games, much like Jared Goff, he often takes a backseat. And it's not my opinion, it's a fact. And as an amateur, not only am I a talk show host, a sports talk show host, but I'm a zoologist as well. And as a zoologist, an amateur zoologist, I know you've got the Bengal, the Siberian, the Indo-Chinese among the tiger subspecies. Dak Prescott is what's known as the paper tiger. That's Dak. Last 4 years, Dak Prescott, what is he, 6-19 now? I think it's actually worse than that. I think he's 6-21. Against teams that have a winning record. He was 0-3 in 2020. 6-19 before that, but 0-3 in 2020. Lost games to the Rams, Seahawks, and Browns, and then snap, crackle, pop. Snap, crackle, pop. And I've got to hear the son of Jerry Jones wax poetic about Dak Prescott. Listen, the guy's a vulture. I'll give him that. He's a vulture. And he's been that way. And last season, before he got hurt, almost 30% of Dak Prescott's passing yards, 35% of his touchdowns came in blowouts, meaning the Cowboys were either way behind, which is normally true, or they were way ahead in the game, which didn't happen very often. But that doesn't sound like the answer to a riddle to me. Maybe I'm a bit naive here. And I know, what's he supposed to say? I know that's always the counter argument, but it sounds like a mystifying brain teaser for Dallas. Now, last word here, I want to, like they do in the White House, I want to circle back to the Rams. Kevin Demoff's refusal to admit the franchise screwed up. This is an easy one, right? The fact that the Rams sent Jared Goff to Detroit tells you they effed that up, right? And actions speak louder than words. Demoff is either a liar or a fool. It's possible he's both. But this is one you say, listen, bad job. We got a mulligan on this. We got out of it. The Ram front office has done a lot of irritating things. And they often play fast and loose with the truth. But that's a lot of NFL front offices. And they've been operating, though, as carnival hucksters. And they keep having pretty good teams. Despite it all, the Rams are the type of operation. You have a crack in the concrete there, right? You're like, I got a problem. And you call somebody up. You're like, okay, come, can you come out? Can you fix the concrete? There's a problem here. And they say, sure, no problem. And then they come out there and they just paper over it. That's essentially what the Rams have been doing here. And they're getting away with it, you know, out of sight, out of mind. One mistake leads to another mistake and another one and another one. And all the Rams have had to do is just throw a couple of first-round picks in with every bonehead move the Rams have made, and you're spraying deodorant on the septic tank, and it's worked out. I guess it makes it more appealing. Todd Gurley shouldn't have done that. We said don't give Gurley the contract. Jared Goff, it's a fool's paradise. It is a fool's paradise to pay running backs big money and certainly quarterbacks that are weak in the knees like Jared Goff. Now, all of that being said, and all of it was said, despite the organizational culture, the Rams have been the model of what's known as falling upward. And the reason is Sean McVay. If Sean McVay were to leave, let's say hypothetically Bill Belichick retires in 2 years, or gets forced out of New England. And for some odd reason, Robert Kraft's like, I can't hire a Belichick disciple. I'm going to go out and get Sean McVay. And if Sean McVay said yes and would go to the Patriots, the Rams would be up blank creek like that TV show. They would, without a paddle, all right, they would be so royally screwed without Sean McVay. Because the people ahead of Sean McVay, if you look at the totem pole, they don't know what they're doing. There's a bunch of dummies in the Rams front office. And comments like this remind us of how stupid these people appear to be. All right, it is the Ben Maller Show. If you would like to talk about that, we will take your calls. 877-99-ON-FOX, 877-996-6369. You can be part of the big radio show. We'll work our way through these amazing, amazing phone calls here at 877-996-6369. Also on Twitter, at Ben Maller, if you'd like to be part. Now, later on this hour, we've got Maller to the third degree. Next hour, Maller's Mountain of Money. And much later on, you will not be listening. We'll have Cite the Bite, the great sports radio mystery, Cite the Bite. That's the bit where we play an audio soundbite from someone in sports, and you have to figure out who it is. Who it is. All right. Straight ahead for us, a wardrobe malfunction. It has happened again in the NFL. We'll get to that. The unexpected headline from an NFL team's marketing gimmick. We'll get to that, and we will do it next.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
We believe in the power of the people in the Maller Militia. Get the most out of the Ben Maller Show listening experience by adding your touch. Take a few seconds to follow your host on Twitter. He's at Ben Maller. And you can tweet at and follow our executive producer. He is manning the phones. Some call him the call screener. We call him the Coop de Loop, Justin Cooper. He is at UH Bronco Fan.
The Rocket. He was a pitcher for the Yankees.
Rocket is a Mal.
Yeah, more great answers like that coming up next hour with Maller's Mountain of Money. Now, Live from the Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
Robin Vegas says, Ben, settle down over there, fella. When New England does hire Sean McVay as Bill Belichick's successor, the first call the Rams brass will make is to Mr. 8-8, 7-9, Jeff Fisher. Easy fix. Well, Robin Vegas, that's bad football knowledge by you, Rob, because if Jeff Fisher does come back, he will never be 8-8 or 7-9 should he coach a full season. In fact, no one will be just 8-8 or 7-9 ever again in the NFL because, wait for it, yeah, they added an extra game. There you go. Let's see here. Romosexual Charlie in San Antonio says, Big Ben, I am glad you're able to identify stat-stuffing overrated quarterbacks, yet you overlook the gold standard of garbage time stat-stuffing Stat Padford. Charlie, Matthew Stafford has left the darkness. He has seen the light, and he will get MVP votes. He is now going to be the top quarterback in the NFC West. Sorry, Mr. Unlimited in Seattle. Your time is over with the Seahawks. Now, I know you would like to be traded, but they're not going to trade you just yet. So you're stuck there toiling in Seattle. But Matt, yeah. Once Matthew Stafford gets rid of that Honolulu blue and puts on that ugly, ugly Ram uniform. The Rams used to have the greatest uniforms in football, and then Nike took over and ruined them, and they blow. But still, it's still the helmet looks all right. Helmet looks all right. All right, it's the Ben Maller Show on Fox. To the phones we go, and let's see here. Who do we have? Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Pick a caller by their name. Let's go to Big Al in Waco, Texas. Hello, Big Al. All right, apparently Big Al's not there. Dominican Mike in Florida. What's going on, Dominican Mike? Uh-oh. I hear him breathing. It's a good sign.
Ah, he fell asleep.
Well, he was complaining yesterday because of the... Well, this is going swimmingly. All right, we'll hang up on him. Let's go to the... That's right. Let's go to the imposter line, and we'll say hi to Willie in Tennessee. Hello, Willie.
I said, oh, my exes live in Texas. That's why I hang my hat in Tennessee.
No, it's just getting good there, Roberto. You blew him up. This is like an audition. He's auditioning for the talent show. Is something wrong? Do we need to cleanse the phone lines here with bleach or something like that? What is going on here all of a sudden? My God.
Not a good start.
Wow, this is disastrous. This is horrible. Maybe I was right. My instincts were right to not take as many calls. Let's go to Chris in Houston, speaking of trouble. Hello, Christopher.
I wasn't happy that you blamed me for yesterday, man. That wasn't my fault, man. Look here. Yeah, I got dropped when it came down to the instant device line, and so I ended up calling back and ended up getting a pot shot at you, but that's okay. I take that all day long. I tell you, Ben, you know, when life gives you COVID, you got to sit out 7 days, man. This sucks.
Are you on the COVID disabled list there, Chris in Houston?
No, my Astros are on the COVID.
The Astros, that's right. I thought you were because your calls have been pretty weak recently, so I thought you might be on the COVID list.
Weak like how you play with Mellor's Mountain of Money, you know, because it's kind of weak, you know.
Well, the clues are tremendous. It's the dummies that have been matched up with me. It's their fault, clearly.
No. Looking... See,
Yeah. First of all, most of these guys are jokesters. They don't even try, all right? They make a mockery of the game, and we're going to get in trouble with the game show gods because we play these dumb game shows, and we've got these guys come in here that are jokesters, that are Chuckles the Clown, and they don't even take the integrity of the game seriously. It's a shame. It's a joke. I'm giving these amazing clues, and I got every dumb on the block who wants to answer and give fake, bogus answers.
There you go with your red herrings. You're going to throw it at somebody else because
it's not a red herring. That's exactly what happens. It's a red herring if it's used as a you know, to switch the conversation up as a you know, it's like the magic where they get your eyes looking one direction and then they do the switch.
You know, you sound just like those fans that always try to defend the star when their team lose. They try to blame it on everybody.
Well,
else.
Thank you. I am the star. I do appreciate that. Finally, you've acknowledged I'm the star. Thank you for that, Chris. That's respect by you.
Hey, you know when you point, you know they got a, you know, it's four fingers. You know, four fingers point back at you. You know that, right?
Not Phalexis, though. Phalexis only has one finger. So when Phalexis points, it's only one finger.
Now, I tell you, Ben, you know, Deshaun and this, Deshaun with all this stuff and trying to clear his name. How many times are we going to tell him? He can't clear his name, period. It's going to live with him.
No. No, well, in that world of social media, it's going to live with him forever because you know, people, once they form their opinion, they don't want to change. Even if you're found innocent, which I don't think there's a shot that's going to happen. But let's say in some parallel dimension it happens where they can prove all these people are lying and Deshaun Watson was just the innocent victim. He was just a little bit of a pervert, but he wasn't a criminal pervert. And let's say that's the case. People have already formed their opinion. It's done. He's cooked.
He's a cooked goose. He can still play, but he's going to be a cooked goose. He's going to be like Ben Roethlisberger, be called a rapist half the time. But look, me and Coop, I already talked to the guy with Coop. I had a beef with Coop over the weekend. He made a goof. He said that the Mortal Kombat movie came out this weekend, but it didn't come out, and I was very disappointed.
An error in the Coop scoop on entertainment.
Yeah, Coop apologized for that, man. That was a goof there. You know, we always
well,
have one.
Well, in Coop's defense, he was actually celebrating the holiday. Today's a big holiday in the Coop household. And so he was doing a little pre-gaming and starting his weekend early.
So. Yes, there is 420. Now, I got a biography for you, Ben. I don't know if you heard of it. You see that the WWE is doing a biography on A&E. And they started as a 9-part. And the first one was Stone Cold Steve Austin, man. And I swear to God, I thought I was 12 years old again. I thought I was 15 or something, man.
You flashback. Was, yeah.
Yes, sir, cool. Guys. Y'all got to go check it out, man. Next week is Roddy Piper, man. So.
Oh, wow. That's right in my wheelhouse. I'll have to check that
sir,
out.
Yes, sir.
When's Andre the Giant and Hulk Hogan and all those guys?
No, I think this is more the Attitude Era.
Oh, the Attitude Era. They moved on.
Yeah.
With the
wild stuff. Mankind, man. Come on now. Mankind was everybody's fan. Everybody's fan. Everybody's a fan of Mankind.
No, I wasn't a fan.
I'm out, though.
I mean, I like Mankind, but thank you. I must move. All right, it is the Ben Maller Show. So a wardrobe malfunction, NFL style. The Cincinnati Bengals showed off their new uniforms. Now, this is actually worthy of some conversation because the Bengals made this big to-do, right? First major change of uniform in 17 years. And so they brought in all these... Ocho Cinco was there, all the star, well, there's not many stars in the Bengals, but they brought in their key players and they were showing them off on the catwalk doing a pirouette, the new Bengal uniforms. And hand to God, since this is radio you cannot see, these uniforms are almost exactly the same as the old uniforms. They're almost exactly the same. And they had this big over-the-top gala event, but the wardrobe malfunction was Joe Burrow. Right, Joe Burrow, who was out there doing the old catwalk and showing off his appearance in this new uniform, and people were noticing when they were looking at the video and the photographs that because of the way Joe Burrow's uniform was on, you could see the massive ghastly scar on the knee of Joe Burrow because he wasn't wearing any of the padding to cover it up. And he had major operation, the ACL scar for Joe Burrow. So the law of unintended consequences is the moral of the story, right? The Bengals think, hey, we're going to come out. We're going to just excite the Bengal fan base, all 12 of them. We're going to excite them with our new uniforms. People are going to open up their wallets, buy these new uniforms. So first of all, they effed up because the uniforms look almost the same as the old uniforms. And then Joe Burrow comes out and everyone's like, holy crap, Joe Burrow, is this guy going to be able to come back and be great because his knee's all messed up? But generally, when you have a major operation, that's usually what your body looks like after a major operation. I mean, I had my gallbladder taken out. I got a pretty decent scar still from that. I'm just pointing out. I think it's worse than what Joe Burrow had.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, longtime quarterback Alex Smith retiring from the NFL on Monday after 16 years, former number one overall pick in the draft, of course, coming back improbably from that gruesome
having his legs snapped in half like a twig.
I still can't believe he actually came back and played. But
it is stunning.
He's going to turn 37 next month, and even though he said he still believes he has plenty of snaps left in him, he's decided he's going to call it a career. I guess he doesn't want to hold a clipboard for somebody, so...
I'll hold a clipboard.
I would too.
I'm willing to do that. I'll wear a baseball cap and hold the clipboard. I wear baseball caps anyway. I'll hold a clipboard. I'll walk around. Right? Come on. Absolutely. Great.
But he's got plenty of money, I guess, so good for him.
Yeah. All right. Thank you for that, Eddie. And he will be known for one thing and one thing only. 16 years in the NFL, and when you think of Alex Smith, the first and really the only thing you're going to remember is the injury and the comeback with the Washington football team. All right, it is the Ben Maller Show. This portion made possible by Discover Card. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing because Discover's accepted at 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. Learn more. Discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report. Limitations do apply. Big Rig Rob from the highways and byways of the Evergreen State. He had much to say. Where is it, though? Did it disappear? Did he delete that? I don't see it here anymore. I clicked on it, and it's gone. What the heck happened? Where did it go? How did that take place? All right, who else do we have? Let's see. Page down. Just Josh says, chicks dig scars. Move along, Mr. Fashionista. Nothing to see here. Yeah. No, but Josh, I know you're in Cincinnati. You're not really a Bengals fan, though, Josh, right? Because, I mean, why would you be if you lived in Cincinnati to be a Bengal fan? But that was not what the Bengals were anticipating. That was not what they were anticipating. They were like, all right, we're going to introduce our new uniforms. Everyone's going to be excited. And people are like, well, those are the same damn uniforms. And then people were goofing on the leg of Joe Burrow. Like, what is that all about? All right, let's go back to the phones, and we will say hello to, let's see, eeny, meeny, miny, moe. How about Sir Scratchoff in Arkansas, who is up next? Hello, Sir Scratchoff.
I know one thing. They better get something that looks good, because if Burrow's going to be another wash again this year, I'll put $500 on it.
So you're going to bet $500 that Burrow's going to be a bum?
You daggum right, man. I said,
nah, I like Burrow. Listen, he's surrounded by Drek, but I like Burrow.
Well, good luck. I hope he does something for your team, everybody.
I'm not a Ben. Well, they are. Actually, I am not a Bengal fan, but they are the Bengals. They are the Bengals.
I just know one thing. I know what your last words would be when you're talking to this guy while I got a buddy up in Missouri that's a mortician. And I guarantee you, I know what your last words would be when they get ready to lay you down, Ben.
What's that going to be? I don't have any.
Astro.
No, look at that. Triggered. See that? Sir Scratch Off is triggered by the Astros.
Hey, Ben, I want to say something to you. Tony Russo was a good coach of all the time we had him in St. Louis. The only thing about Tony was we always had to go find him at the four-way stop. He'd be drinking and driving. So we'd have to go get him for every game and bring him back to the ball field and let him know where he's at, you know. But we got some good wins with old Tony.
Tony enjoys a nice scotch from what we hear.
Yeah, he likes a little scotch, man. Yeah. But I'm ready. What are we, about 18, 19 Sundays away from NFL football season?
Well, I haven't counted. I mean, a training camp usually opens in July, assuming the players will actually show up to training camp. So sometime in July, and then exhibition games, if they have those in August, and then the season will start in September. So,
well, I just think old Foles, I'm sorry, Goff. I believe old Goff's going to do just like Foles did after he left the Rams. It seemed like every time we lose anybody with the Rams, they go somewhere else and do something.
All right, I'll bet you on that. I'll take that action. How about Jared Goff go out and poop his pants in a Lions uniform? How about that?
I'll take that action.
I'll bet he poops his pants. He'll be poopy pants Jared Goff with the Lions.
I say 9-0. 9-0. I'll put him 9 wins and over.
Yeah. No, you know what's nine and over? No, you're right. 9 and over is how many Big Macs you're going to eat. That's 9 and over.
Well, I got to tell you something before I get off here. I've been trying to tell you this ever since it happened, but I think that Octagon was the worst one I've ever heard in all my 17 years of listening to your show. It sounded like two teenage girls fighting over a training bra. They didn't know how to do anything.
Well, you're referring, you got to announce your pronouns. You are referring to Marcel in Brooklyn and Blair in Maine.
Yeah, I think Marcel needs to stick with his noodles and doodles or where the hell he calls them, because I'm going to tell you right now, that was a bad Octagon. I've heard better. And I want mine. I want mine one day.
No. You're not a fighter. Listen,
I'm all good.
How about you versus Jonas? How about that in the Octagon?
I like old Jonas. I don't know why you said Jonas is a good man. He like you. He good.
I know you like Jonas. I've been hearing reports. You said wonderful things about Jonas and trashed me. That's what I've been hearing. You know.
Oh, I love you. I love you, Ben. You're a great man. I just wish y'all would do one thing on this radio station. I wish to tell y'all making fun of somebody out here on this radio station. Y'all have more prayers for him besides making fun of him. Because I'm gonna tell you something. We're gonna lose him one of these days with the problem he's got. I was a bad alcoholic for years, and I give it up. I was almost losing everything I have. And, Brian, something's going to happen.
Well, listen, it's your scratch off. We are not here to change the world. We are here to do a radio show, and we would like Beer Drinking Brian to stay off the sauce. We've encouraged him to do that. But you have individual responsibility and rights and whatnot, and it's not a police state. And we've had a lot of people that have called the show over the years. You've been listening for 17 years, Sir Scratchoff. You've heard through some of the big-name callers we've had over the years, Jeannie in Medford, the gold standard of radio callers, and our guy in Tampa, Jimmy Ray from Tampa Bay, Moonshine Mark. We've had some legends, and some of them have met their demise way too soon because of the alcohol. All right, it is the Ben Maller Show. As we press on, we got Maller to the third degree. Here is the Insta trivia. And here it is. Blank is the last NBA player to have a 50-point, 20-rebound postseason game. Again, blank, the last NBA player to have at least 50 points and 20 rebounds in a postseason game. That is the Insta trivia. That and Maller to the third degree next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
4 out of 5 nocturnal listeners to Sports Radio choose The Ben Maller Show to combat insomnia. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We need your help to grow the Maller Militia. And now live from the Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
Maller to the third degree, right around the corner, right around the bend. But time now for the Insta trivia. And here it is. Blank is the last NBA player to have at least 50 points, 20 rebounds in a postseason game. That is the question. What is the answer? And many answers coming in here on Twitter at Ben Maller. And let's see. Mr. Nice Guy is going with Bella as the answer. My dog Bella. Who else do we have here? Great Clippers legend Darius Miles, guessed by Oscar. Jed Who Fled's Selly Bubba. Yeah, we have not heard from Jed Who Fled. We assume he's incarcerated right now. Malibu Rubens going with Agent Zero. Gilbert Arenas is his answer. Tall Drink of Water Brian, guessed by The Lord. That's his Twitter name. Who else do we have? Joe Friday from the Raider Freak. Charles Barkley, pre-Peloton from the Fire Lake DJ in Michigan. Popeye Jones from Alfie. Let me tell you something. That's the greatest picture. I don't know how you found that, Alf. That is the greatest photo of a chicken sandwich that I have ever seen. My God. All right. Who else do we have? Malaprop guy is going with Elgin Baylor as his answer. Dennis Rodman from Thomas in the 513. Rodman, all those big 50-point games. Basketball Jones from Drip. That's his guess. Who else do we have? Dave Chappelle from the Late Night Drug Tester. J-Dot in Utah is going with Bill Miller as his answer. And Inca Terror is going with Guidance Counselor Sir Scratchoff. Eddie, do you have an answer, Eddie?
I do. Okay, I'm going to go with former Houston Rockets star Luther Head.
Oh, Luther Head. Tremendous. That's actually Deshaun Watson's favorite Rockets player of all time. That is incorrect, though, Eddie. That's incorrect. The correct answer, Bob McAdoo of the Buffalo Braves, who would become the L.A. Clippers after stopping in San Diego. 1975, McAdoo had 50 points, 20 rebounds against the old Washington Bullets, and he is the last NBA player to have a 50-point, 20-rebound game in the postseason.
It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
Coop Dalu.
Now, Ben, there are reports surfacing that the Broncos may be looking to move up to the number four spot in the draft in order to get a quarterback, namely Justin Fields or Trey Lance, whoever is available. Now, is this a move that the Broncos have to make?
Well, I don't care about draft picks, so I would have no problem trading up, but I say you don't have to, so I'm going to go thumbs down. The Broncos have the ninth pick. If they trade up to number four, they would have to give up a bunch of draft picks when they likely would still get a quarterback at number nine. And is there really that much of a difference between any of these quarterbacks? I know everyone thinks that, you know, that Trevor Lawrence is going to be so much better than everyone else. But after Trevor Lawrence, let's assume Lawrence is good. After that, I think it's a toss-up. So why not get, you know, any of these guys? If there's one left at number nine, and there will likely be one left at number nine, and go get it, there's a pretty good chance, for example, Trey Lance will be there at number nine. And B, Denver, they have to replace Drew Lock, but they don't have to force the issue. Don't force it. Let it come to you. All right, next.
Now, Ben, it's been almost a decade since the Reds have won the NL Central. 15 games in the season, they're sitting at first place. Should Justin and the rest of the Cincinnati crew be hopeful this year?
No, of course, man. The only reason you're hopeful is the NL Central blows. It's the kiddie pool of baseball. So you got a shot because the Cubs, Brewers, Cardinals, and Pirates all stink. But no, look at that team. They got Luis Castillo's pretty good. And after that, I mean, a bunch of washed up Sonny Gray, Wade Miley type guys. No, they're no threat to make any noise in the playoffs if they should get there. Next!
Later this week, the owners will vote on a number of different rule changes. One of them proposed by the Bills is that teams not be allowed to interview coaching candidates until after the conference championship. Ben, do you think the coaching hiring process needs tweaking?
No, and you can put on all kinds of rules you want. Teams are going to hire who they want to hire. They already know pretty much before they fire coaches who they're going to hire. It's not going to change anything. How do we do?
He passes edition.
There it is. That's a winner. Put it on the board. Yeah.